Well, let's see here. Open up to Numbers chapter 35. What I'm going to do tonight, I guess you could say it's like a branch off of what the Lord gave this morning. The Lord this morning confirmed to us about a spiritual attack that's been released against the body of Christ. I'm going to reteach the message. Basically, it was about a spirit of murder has been released. And I shared with you a dream I had, a dream Kathy had, a word from the Lord from somebody else, a word from the Lord that we had here several weeks ago, and how that it's all tied together, and how God wants to reveal to us ahead of time attacks that Satan may be directing toward us. Moving forward from that into tonight, I want to share with you something that the Lord shared with me this morning. I don't remember if it was actually during the worship or during the message itself. In Numbers chapter 35. Take a look here. In fact, if you have a marker, put it in Numbers 35. We're going to leave and then come back in a little bit. We want to pick this up in verse 9, Numbers 35, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then shall ye appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. Now some of this, as we continue reading, is going to, you know, be a little King Jamesy, like verse 11. But you'll understand it by the time we finish reading and so forth. Verse 12. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall have three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. And to stop here for a moment, you don't have to turn to it, but if you want to make note, in Joshua chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, it lists all of those cities of refuge. So, again, picking up here Numbers 35, verse 14. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him out of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight that he die, or in enmity, anger, jealousy, and so forth, smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, in other words, didn't lay in hiding, waiting for him to come by so he could kill him. Or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest, But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. And we'll stop right there. Basically what they're saying is this, or what God is telling Moses is this. If someone murders another person, then they're guilty of murder, and they're to be executed. He says, but if something happens, and an individual kills another person, but they didn't mean to, it was an accident, then the person who has done the killing can flee to one of these cities of refuge and stay there. And while he's there, he's protected from the revenger or the avenger. While he's in that city of refuge, the avenger cannot go in and touch him. And it talks about here, you know, he has to stay there till the death of the high priest and so forth. So there's this place that the person who accidentally killed another person can go, and they're going to be protected from the revenger of blood who's looking to kill him. With this in mind, I want to tell you what happened today. Well, I think it was during the worship, God began to speak to me. And he said, worship is your city of refuge. He said, worship is your city of refuge. And I almost shared it this morning, but I didn't. I just didn't feel a release to share it. But I feel the release tonight. Hallelujah. And as I'm thinking about this, worship is our, my city of refuge. I thought, okay, I know that God isn't going to give me something that's not scriptural. So there has to be something in the Bible that kind of lines up with this. In other words, I know for a fact that there is no verse in the Bible that says worship is your city of refuge. I know that. Knowing that means that I'm not going to find that verse in the Bible. But the concept is probably in there somewhere. Or the imagery, if you will, is probably in there somewhere. So I began to take a look this afternoon. And I want to show this to you. Turn first to Psalms chapter 8. Psalm 8. And this one right here really is about all the confirmation you should need. But we'll see more than just this. In Psalm 8, verse 1. Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the what? The avenger. Now, over in Matthew chapter, now you have to turn to it, I'll just quote from it. Over in Matthew chapter 21, verse 16, Jesus makes reference to this verse only as he quotes from it. He doesn't use the word strength. He uses the word praise. Out of the mouth of babes, thou hast ordained praise because of the enemy. So literally, what this is saying here is that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained praise, or the strength of praise, because of thine enemies, so that out of this praise you can still the enemy and the avenger, or put a stop to the avenger. Who's the avenger? All right, Satan, right, is our enemy. He's the one that wants to steal, kill, destroy, murder, and all that. We talked about that this morning. So here he is. He wants me, and he wants to take me down. He wants to take you down. But God turns right around here, and again, relative to what the Lord said this morning about worship is your city of refuge, right here it is saying is, God has ordained that as we begin to praise Him and we begin to worship Him, even those who are babes in Christ, even those who are newly born again. See, this is one of the reasons why when people are first born again, one of the things that they need to be taught about is praise and worship to help them understand what this is all about. So he says, look, as you begin to do this, then what happens is the strength of this praise actually works to put a stop to the enemy, to still the enemy and the avenger. The type and shadow is revealed back over there in Numbers, what we just read. Or in other words, to paraphrase it, through your praise, you are creating a city of refuge that stops the avenger at the borders, to where he cannot get in and execute what it is that he wants to execute, which is you. He wants to execute you. Now, let me show you another couple of places. Turn over to Psalm 32. Look here in verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Jump down to verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about, or shall encircle him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. In other words, he's telling you right here, look, there's trouble, there's wicked. I mean, this stuff is coming at me. However, when I begin to release these songs of joy, when I begin to praise you, when I begin to rejoice in you, when I begin to have my own praise and worship service, then what happens is you begin to compass me with deliverance. You begin to compass me with your presence. You begin to raise up a shield and raise up a barrier. In other words, I am creating my city of refuge wherein you are the main inhabitant of this city, but I move in to live with you as I begin to praise you and I begin to worship you, and the enemy stops at the borders. You see this? Now let me show you another place. Psalm chapter 63. Now begin here in verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Now he begins at this verse to praise and to worship the Lord. He says, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings. Okay, what does that represent? In the shadow, in your covering. As I come underneath your covering, as I come within the place where, when it talks about shadow in here, don't think in terms of a dark shadow. This is talking about a shadow of His glory. He says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, my right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul, the avenger, those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. So in other words, he says, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to give you glory. Even at night, while I'm there on my bed, I'm going to be praising your name. I'm going to be worshiping you. And the end result of that is going to be, I'm going to dwell in the shadow of your glory. And when I do that, then the one who is seeking my soul and seeking my blood is going to be stopped in his tracks. He's not going to be able to make progress in my life because I'm dwelling in your presence. My praise and my worship has become my city of refuge. Praise God. Now look over, turn back over in Numbers 35. Now in this passage where he's talking about all of these, the rules and so forth governing the city of refuge, notice he makes a statement here beginning in verse 25. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of his blood. In other words, if I step outside, if I step outside the city of refuge, while the high priest is still alive, then what happens is, the revenger then has the legal right to destroy me. He can kill me. So what I have to do is sit around and wait for the high priest. As long as he's alive, I'm okay. As long as he's alive, then I'm protected. You understand what I'm saying here? In this, the imagery here. Can I look back over in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 7. Because let's face it, if you're eating up with revenge, you don't care if the high priest is living or dead. You're waiting for that guy to step out. You're just waiting for him to stick his nose out the front gate of that city. Another way to put it is there is a level of protection afforded to this individual in chapter 35 as long as that high priest is alive. Okay, now, in Hebrews chapter 7, look here in verse 15. This is speaking of Jesus. And yet it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Now look here. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. You say, what's that mean? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus has become our high priest. Now, under the law, sooner or later, the high priest was going to die, was he not? However, under this covenant, our high priest lives forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Do you know what this means? That means that I can create a city of refuge with my praise and my worship, and my high priest is going to live forever and ever, and therefore, once I've created this city of refuge, the avenger has to stay on the outside. He can't come in! You see this? But it says that if I step outside my city of refuge while the high priest is still alive, then I expose myself to the revenger coming to claim me. And as I'm listening to this, and as the Lord is showing all this to me, it's almost like He's reinforcing to me, do you fully understand what this praise and worship is doing for you? Okay, let me share it to you like this. Have you considered the possibility that a lot of people have been killed at the hands of the devil because they've left their city of refuge? Because they have silenced the lips of their worship? And because they've done so, they've stepped out of that protection that comes with the praise and the worship and exposed themselves to attacks that should never have taken place in their life. Because you see, my high priest will never die. That means my city of refuge is always available for me. All I have to do is begin to praise my Lord and Savior. All I have to do is begin to glorify Him. All I have to do is begin to worship Him. He lives forever and forever and forever and forever. And this means that the city of refuge that I create with my praise and worship, it can exist forever and forever and forever while I'm down here. Because see, once I'm over there in glory, I don't have to worry about trying to create a city of refuge. I'm in an eternity of refuge, if you will. Praise God. But while I'm here, that's when I need it. And it's like God is saying, I've given you this type and shadow back there underneath the law. He says, if you begin to praise me and you begin to worship me, you are creating a city of refuge for yourself. Not only that, but now listen to this. Everybody who dwells in that city of refuge is going to be protected. Let that sink in. I can extend my city of refuge around you if you will come to the place where I'm praising. Because in the Old Testament, they built that whole city. It was called a city of refuge. My family could come visit me in a city of refuge. They're protected. Even though they're not the ones guilty. You understand what I'm saying? So here I am. I'll praise the Lord. I'll worship. I'll come before the services and praise God and worship the Lord. You know what that means? All the people that come together in here, and we begin to praise, and we begin to worship, we lift up our hands, we lift up our voices, we pour out our hearts unto the Lord, as we're praising Him and worshiping Him, we are creating a city of refuge. I mean, we're creating a metropolis of refuge, hallelujah, with our praise and worship. And when people come in here, do you understand that they're walking into a city of refuge? They're walking into a place of protection. Even if they don't worship, even if they don't praise, even if they're not born again, they're walking into a place of protection. Tonight, while we were worshiping the Lord, and I'm meditating and I'm thinking about this and so forth, but here's what I saw. I saw a person who had been praising and worshiping. Now let me just throw this disclaimer out here. This does not mean that you have to be awake 24 hours a day worshiping God to create a city of refuge. All right? The imagery or the message in this is, if you are a praiser and you are a worshiper, you are creating this city of refuge, which means it probably should extend beyond just our service times. So in this little visionette, I saw a person, they had been praising, they were worshiping, and this was a person who had been a praiser. This is a person who's, a person who's creating a city of refuge for himself. And that he lives, and everywhere he goes, see that city of refuge. It's like what I saw in him was, or saw about him was like he was glowing from head to toe. I mean, everything around, like this glow was coming off of him, and it extended out about maybe, 8 to 10 inches, something like that. And just like every part of him had that glow that was his city of refuge. You capturing this, seeing this. So what happened was, because he's created a city of refuge with his praise and his worship, and he's living in the city of refuge, I saw him walk across the tarmac at an airport, and he walked up the steps into the airplane, and as soon as he got into the airplane, the entire plane began to glow. The entire plane began to glow just like he did, and the reason was because he now had created a city of refuge on that plane. You know what that means? Those people are protected because of him. Now think about that. You create a city of refuge for yourself through your praise and your worship. I'm not talking just singing the songs. You know what I mean. You're singing to Him. I know our minds get distracted from time to time, but you grab your mind, you bring it back in, and you focus on Jesus, the focal point of our praise and worship. And when you do that, you understand that your home can become a city of refuge. And that when people come over to visit you, they're walking into that city of refuge. Your car can become a city of refuge. The place where you work can become a city of refuge. I mean, just wherever you go can become that city of refuge because you're there. You're there. And because you're the one that's created this city of refuge, there is a protection that goes with you. Hey, listen, you know, back in the Bible, one of the safest places to have been was somewhere by Jesus. I mean, if you're going to be anywhere, you want to be by Him. Because one thing is for certain, He ain't dying before His time. And if I can hook up with Him, praise God, I got a feeling I'll make it. Praise God. Listen, I'm sure more than once, those disciples were pretty glad they were with Jesus. Especially in the midst of a hostile crowd. And the Lord was showing me here that our worship becomes our city of refuge. We begin to praise the Lord, we begin to worship Him, and we literally begin to create that city of refuge, that place of protection for ourselves. And as He's sharing this with me, I tell you, I believe, and you don't have to agree with me, but I believe that there are Christians who have died too young because they did not create a city of refuge or because they got discouraged about something and they tore their city down or stepped outside. They stopped their praise. You understand what I mean? They stopped their worship. You know, this morning we talked about how the Lord revealed that worship is a type of spiritual warfare. Likewise, tonight the Lord is saying, look, worship creates a city of refuge. Now, I want you to listen to this. I read this prophecy this morning. I read three this morning, but I'm only going to read a part of one, the first one. And I was sharing at the beginning of this prophecy, as we began to enter into what we call free worship, where we just pour out of our heart, our praise and worship to the Lord and sing unto Him, singing with the understanding and singing with the Spirit, singing a new song unto the Lord. As we began to do that, the Lord gave me a vision. He showed me, now listen closely to this and how it fits into this message tonight. He showed me that as praise begins to rise up and that worship begins to rise up and pour out of our spirit, it was like it began pushing back the darkness of this region. It began pushing it back in a circle. Or it compassed us. It began to push it back in a circle around where this worship was rising up. And the circle began growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the Lord said, it is this kind of worship, this kind of praise, that as it begins to go up out of your spirit, it begins to drive back the darkness. And as I saw this, the darkness was being pushed back. And this increasingly large circle in it, the darkness could not re-enter that area of worship. No matter what it did, it could not re-enter that realm of glory that had been produced by our worship. There's your city of refuge right there. So this is another reason why this worship is so valuable. Sure, I know we like the songs. Sure, I know that some of the songs are catchy. Sure, you know, we have our favorites and so forth. And it's like when our favorites start to play, you know, we kind of a little more emphatic with the worship. I understand that. And the emotions play a role in that. But as we come in and we begin to focus on Jesus and we begin to pour out our heart and worship to Him, we're creating a city of refuge for ourselves. And it's not just when we do it here. It's when we do it outside of here. When we come in and we begin to worship Him this way, and we begin to experience His presence, it's compounding. The effect is compounding. It's like we're adding more. It's like that in this place. Okay, let me say it like this. Many of you remember what it was like years ago when we first started worshiping. It's like now there's more in the room than what there used to be. It's like there's more God in the room. You know what I'm saying? If you're a bricklayer, it's like we have more layers of bricks. And it's all because of the worship of what's happened. And this goes right along with what God told us, way in the past about if we keep worshiping, then His glory will continue to increase and so forth. And that is what's happening. So it's not just a matter of, oh, we want presence, we want anointing, healings, and all this other kind of stuff. But at the same time, listen, for me, I want everything that worship will produce. I mean, I don't care what it is. Because it can't produce anything bad. So I want everything that the worship produces, including my city of refuge. I want to create a city of refuge so that when you come and visit me, you're safe. When you're in my car, you're safe. When you're on my plane, you're safe. I want to create my city of refuge. And it's only going to come through this praise and this worship. I'm just sharing with you tonight what the Lord shared with me, how that our worship creates this city of refuge. And I really hope that this takes root in us, this message, because one of the things that I truly believe is that there is more that is going to happen in this place if we will truly commit ourselves to praise and worship. There is more of God's glory. Now, let me just throw kind of a disclaimer out. All too often in churches and so on, when they talk about God's glory, many times they associate it with emotional displays. God's glory works how He wants it to work. And there's not always going to be the hyper emotions associated with a manifestation of the glory of God. Now, if you remember in the Old Testament, the glory filled the temple, and what happened? The priest couldn't stand to minister. So there weren't a whole lot of emotions, but there was a whole lot of on your face before God. So the glory produces different things at different times. But God has said, look, if you will worship me, if you do this, if you praise me, then the glory is just going to keep coming. You're setting the stage for revival. You're setting the stage for my presence. You're setting the stage for healings and miracles and all these things to take place. And why? Because we made a decision that we want to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior. When we come together to worship Him, it's not because we're trying to get something. Now, we know we will, but it's not because we want to get something. We're worshiping Him because we want to. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. And He deserves, like the song we sing, "You deserve the glory." He deserves it. He deserves our praise and our worship. Now, I know this message hasn't been very long tonight, but I'll tell you what, it's been powerful. Our worship creates a city of refuge. And praise God, we need it, do we not? So I want you to keep this in mind. And if you need motivation in the future, as far as worship is concerned, whether you're here, at home, or whatever, just close your eyes, and begin to worship, and just envision a glory city being built around you. And the devils that have been hassling you being pushed out of your presence, standing on the outside looking in, and they cannot touch you. Praise God.